this morning, dear Lord God, as Father, you have pulled us out, dear Lord God, while we were yet still sinners, my God. We were on your heart. We were on your mind, God, and we thank you, dear Lord God, for your mercy that endures, your grace, dear Lord God, your mercy that endures forever, my God. Lord, we ask you this morning to move in this place and let you move, dear Lord God. Oh, Father, what we've come here for would be in vain, my God. And so, Lord, we ask you, we need your presence. We ask you to move this morning, dear Lord God, that hearts can be changed, dear Lord God, that we can be directed, dear Lord God, that, Father, we can be corrected, my God. And, oh, Heavenly Father, we believe and we anticipate this morning that you have a word for this congregation, dear Lord God. Oh, Father, that will ignite a fire in us, my God, and cause us to go forward, dear Lord God, bringing you glory, dear Lord God, changing lives, dear Lord God. Oh, changing souls, dear Lord God, all for your glory, for the growth of your kingdom, Lord. We give you thanks and praise. Lord, anoint my lips this morning. I am your servant, Lord, who's bowed before you this morning, God. Give me the words, dear Lord God, to say from your throne. And Lord, when all is said and done, you be glorified this morning in this service. We give you thanks and praise, all in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen. Give God a praise and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Worship team, thank you guys so much. You guys are awesome. And God's anointing upon this team is amazing. Amazing. Somebody say it's in the house. Everything's in the house. Hallelujah. It's all in the house. I want to give God thanks for my salvation this morning. 22 years ago, like a cat drugged me in from out in the field somewhere, and I slid up under the door of the Victory Outreach Men's Recovery Home. Oh, no, that Men's Recovery Home, 22 years ago, okay? That's not a bragamony. That's a testimony about what God is able to do. Not only did he do it then, he's doing it now, and he will continue to raise up men and women in our Victory Outreach Recovery Homes. Give him a praise, men and women of the homes, if nobody else. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I thank my pastor. I thank my pastors for this privilege, this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, and we just give them thanks and praise, and it's just awesome to see them there. In Dallas, representing and knowing that, hey, our pastors, I feel, are probably the best pastors in Victory Outreach. Does somebody agree this morning? But I'm so grateful for their mentoring and their love that they poured out consistently throughout the years. I thank God for my beautiful wife, Lena. I thank God. She's my back-to-back partner and a true soldier. And she is a true soldier, amen, and you know, I just want to thank our congregation for your help, your prayers in this time. I know my wife just had surgery not too long ago, and boy, I tell you, she got more heart in it than I do. Amen. All right, and just thank you for prayers. And of course, my dad just went home to be with the Lord, and so you know, thank you for your prayers and all your help. And I pray in the name of Jesus for all of those that are this morning challenged by something in your lives, that you know that you have brothers and sisters in this congregation that are praying for you. Amen. And we know that the righteous prayers, the prayers of the righteous avails much. Otherwise, it does much. It moves the hand of God. Amen. And I know I wouldn't be here this morning. I've been away a little while. Boy, did my fingers feel weird playing the guitar, and I just feel weird, you know, being behind the mic, amen. It is something that I don't frequently do, but God blesses me, and I pray this morning that he will bless you all through the message that he has given me. When God gets in it, it's enough. Somebody say, when God gets in it, it's enough. Oh, say it like you mean it. When God gets in it, it's enough. Amen. Otherwise, when God steps into it, when God is in it, then it's enough. It's enough. For years, I roamed around trying to find that missing piece to my puzzled life. when I came into the recovery home, the men's recovery home 22 years ago, I found that missing piece in Jesus Christ. And I thank God that I didn't die out there in my sin, you know, because I was a desperado, man. I'm not joking. That's not a testimony. I was like, hey, I'm going to either serve the devil all out or I'm going to serve God all out. And I finally made an intelligent decision. Praise God. I can't take credit for intelligent either. Okay. But I thank God for an intelligent decision to go into our recovery home here in Victory Outreach. God bless you. Hey, if we sound radical this morning, we are, for those of you that are new here this morning. We want to welcome you this morning. We have some new people in the house here. Glenn, Johnny, and Anthony, I believe. Yes, welcome, welcome. If this is your first time, we want to say, hey, we want to say not only are you visiting, but hey, we just already accept you, and we're going to speak it into existence that, hey, you're family, okay? You're family, so welcome on behalf of our pastors. Welcome to Victory Outreach, Albuquerque. What you may witness here is a whole bunch of grateful people. You know, not everybody was a dope fiend like me or a gangster or whatever or a prostitute, whatever. But I'll tell you this, we were all destined to hell before Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for us. Amen. So I'm just grateful. Again, welcome this morning to Victory Outreach Albuquerque. As you saw, God is doing some amazing things in our ministry around the world. A ministry that many people said to our founders, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, you're not going to be able to raise up a ministry with ex-convicts and gangsters and prostitutes, you understand? And that there was over 50 years ago. Hello, somebody. And guess what? We can praise God because we're still standing and we're still multiplying in the name of Jesus. And now we're in 30-something countries, if you will. Amen. God is a powerful God. He's a powerful God. Right now, I want you to turn your Bibles to Exodus, the 4th chapter. I'm going to begin to talk to you this morning about a chosen man, a chosen vessel of God that God would use mightily. In the work that came, that is written in the Bible, as God raised up a chosen people, as God continues to raise up a chosen people. Are you chosen this morning? Amen. And God continues to raise up vessels that he can use for the furtherance of the gospel, because there's a whole bunch of souls that if we don't reach them, they'll go to hell. You understand? And that's our mission and our mandate, you understand? And our vision is to go out there and reach the lost at any cost. At any cost. Otherwise, hey, I was going to die out there for a white rock. Wait, y'all hear me talking? I was going to die over a substance, man. How much more do I want to die for a soul that I know is hurting like I was hurting out there? Gladly. Gladly. And we go into some places sometimes that we don't know we're coming out, but we know we go in, and where God is for us, who can be against us? For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we step out in the highways, in the byways where there's danger and stuff, with God's anointing upon us, and we reach those that are hurting. Amen. I was one of those. How many of us were one of those? Amen. If it hadn't have been for this ministry, you understand, I know that I would have gone to hell. Amen. I want to talk to you about Moses and the call of Moses. Moses, at a time where God had a chosen people, he heard a cry from Egypt, from a people that were in bondage for 430 years. The new Pharaoh, the new king over Egypt, you understand, he got nervous. He got frantic. He saw that no matter how hard of a task and how much beatings and how they mistreated the slaves, that the children of Israel, the Hebrews, continued to multiply. They continued to multiply. And he was scared that their numbers would become so great that if they would join Egypt's enemies, that they would overthrow Egypt. So he got worried about it. He got nervous about it, so he put out a decree. in that decree, he told the Hebrew midwives, you understand, which there's been a hit on men, been a hit on everybody, but there's been a hit on men, you understand, since the Garden of Eden. Been a hit on men. All right, how many of us know that God has an order of things? All right, there's an order of things. All right, we look at the family unit in this day and time, and the reason that society is so messed up, you understand, if you will, not only because of the sin of man, because there is a lack of godly men in the households. There's an order of things. And that doesn't say, women, don't get nervous here. That doesn't say that a mama, you understand, cannot raise children and run the household and be that responsible, God-fearing woman. That's not to say that. But a man is supposed to be in that mix. Amen? A man's supposed to be, God said, be fruitful and multiply. There was a man supposed to be in that mix, the father, the wife, and the children. Amen? And so that order got all jacked up, and that's a whole other sermon, but it got all messed up because the enemy put a hit out on the men. Well, likewise, this is what the Pharaoh just decreed to the Hebrew midwives. That when the Hebrew women are at the birthing stool, kill the babies. Kill the male children. It didn't say nothing about the female children. Kill all males born while they're on the birthing stool. But the Hebrew midwives are, No. We're afraid of God. This ain't God's will. Forget about you, Pharaoh. We're not going to kill these babies. Moses' mom, you understand, because the fear that she had for a child, she made an ark. She put pitch all around it and sealed it, made it waterproof. She says, hey, this may give my baby a fighting chance if I float him down the river and somebody finds him and takes care of him. When God gets in it, it's enough. He floated down and got caught up in some bulrush in the ark. There was Pharaoh's daughter. Hello, somebody. She saw it. She went and pulled it out of the bulrushes, out of the stream there, out of the river. Looked at the baby. The Bible says that Moses was a beautiful child. And Moses' sister, who was in the mix. Okay, all right. Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, she ran up there. Pharaoh's daughter loved the baby. Obviously, she didn't have one. She loved a baby. And can you find a Hebrew woman to nurse this child? That's what she's asking Moses' sister. What do you think Moses' sister said? I got just a perfect woman. Moses ended up back in his mom's arms. Okay? With the Hebrews, with the Pharaoh's sister, you understand, who had his back. Oh, hallelujah. Do you hear me this morning? So here it was that Moses' mom, you understand, raised him to a certain age, and then Pharaoh's sister stepped in and took him into the house of royalty. Moses knew he was a Hebrew, though. But nevertheless, he was claimed by the Pharaoh's daughter. Who's going to mess with the Pharaoh's daughter? Hello, somebody. But one day, there was an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew. And it stirred up the Hebrew in Moses, if you will. It stirred up the Hebrew in Moses. Moses went and took him out. And the next day, you understand, there were two Hebrews fighting. And Moses went up there, you know, to break it up. I'm paraphrasing, y'all. Trying to get to the point here. And he went to break them up. But one of them had seen Moses slay the Egyptian the day before. Like, man, who are you? And what authority do you come tell us, you understand, to break up this fight? Who are you? As a matter of fact, what are you going to do? You're going to kill us? You're going to kill one of us like you did the Egyptian yesterday? Uh-oh. Moses said, it's time to get out. So Moses split, and Pharaoh was looking for him because Pharaoh wanted to do him in. Moses ended up on the backside of the desert. And 40 years he was with the Midianites. This was not a God-fearing people, although the priest of the Midianites there, Jethro, became Moses's a father-in-law, because Moses married his daughter, and Moses was the one who was the shepherd tending his flock out in the wilderness. But for 40 years, Moses was on the backside of Horeb, you understand, tending these sheep. For 40 years, he had not heard, there had not been a voice of God that came to Moses. And then all of a sudden, one day, y'all know the story, many of y'all, Moses is on the backside of the desert. Of course, in the desert, you see a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. Moses looked over, and there was a bush. And it was burning. All right. Which wasn't an unusual thing. You know, in the heat of the desert, you know, the spontaneous combustion, you know, things will blaze up. But the problem that Moses had, and I would have had a problem with it, probably would have went on and got on about my business, but the bush was burning, but it was not being consumed. And you know, stuff burned turns to ashes, you know what I'm saying, or melts or whatever, but it wasn't being consumed. Even more than that, as he approached the bush began to talk. Hello, somebody. That's some running and stuff, ain't it? Let me get out of here, man. I'm breaking wide. The bush began to talk, and of course, God was speaking to Moses from this burning bush. He had told Moses, I have heard the cry. I've heard the cry and the oppression of my people, his chosen people, the Hebrews. And Moses, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, Moses, no, I don't think so. Pharaoh been looking for me. You know what I'm saying? I've been a fugitive, Lord. You don't think the Lord knew that? But anyway, to get into my message here, Moses had made excuse after excuse after excuse, as we do sometimes when God says for us to do something, we don't want to do it for whatever reasons. Of course, Moses, you know, he wasn't popular in Egypt, you know, and Moses didn't have, you understand, right standing. He wasn't in right standing with Pharaoh, if you will. But I'm going to begin to read here, because God continues to speak to Moses. Really what some consider for a long time. You know, God's got a lot of patience, don't he? He's long-suffering, the Bible says. I know he spoke to me a long time. 40 years he spoke to me. You understand? A long time. All right, anybody else, man, I'm tired of you. Boom, man. Took me out of my misery. But God is merciful. Amen. I'm going to begin to read here in Exodus 4. Forgive me if I seem a little bit nervous, I am. But I'm going to read here in Exodus 4, beginning with verse 1, as God continues to commission Moses. Then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a snake, and roses took off running. Hello, somebody. Now this rod, he's been, you know, shepherd's rod, man. He's been walking around with this thing. You throw it on the ground, and it turns into a snake. Hello, somebody. Wouldn't you run? Boy, I can't stand snakes. You're talking about somebody get somewhere. I'll get far enough to get me a weapon for him. Because one thing about me, spiders, my wife will tell you, spiders and snakes and stuff like that, I've got to kill him. He can't get away, because then I can't be comfortable no more. Where is he at? I don't care if it's a roach, whatever. Where is he at? He got away. I don't want to see him again. I got to take this dude out. So I'll run far enough, you understand, to get me some so I can bash him, okay? Because I don't want to see him no more. Maybe he's got a cousin who might get the message. Okay, well, they just bashed Ted, man. We don't need to mess with him no more. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, I got to get rid of this dude. All right, Moses took off running. All right? And I'm going to stop right there. Because as the Lord is continuing to commission Moses to go and tell the king of Egypt, to let his people go. They've been in bondage now for 430 years. But Moses, like I said, he makes excuse after excuse after excuse. And he goes tell Moses that he will, he had told Moses earlier that I'll stretch out my hand. I'll be with you. This is the same God that's talking out of the burning bush, Moses. This is the same God that just turned your rod into a snake. And more than likely, the snake was a cobra. Moses might have had two fears there. Because the cobra was a symbol of authority in Egypt. Okay? Not only did he fear the snake itself, he probably feared what the snake represented. Because remember, Moses was a fugitive from Egypt for 40 years. And he knew Pharaoh. Pharaoh was heartless, man. Pharaoh was heartless. All right? We look at some of the people in history, like we look at Hitler and some of the people, Saddam Hussein and Bin Laden. We look at some heartless people, you understand, who had no consideration for life. Pharaoh was one of them. So this snake, you understand, probably reminded him of the one who wore the snake on his, you've seen pictures, What was the woman's name? Cleopatra had a big cobra on the thing right here. Yeah, on the crown. All right. So that was the emblem. You know what I'm saying? So he thought about the snake and then he thought about Pharaoh. Okay, let me move on. Hallelujah. So he's telling God, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back there. And he's freaking out. Moses began to speak, I believe, out of his own apprehensions. Okay? Sometimes we might be lazy. Maybe sometimes, you understand, we have our own preconceived notion or concept of how we want it done. Okay? Sometimes we're trying to get God to fit in a box. Hello, somebody. And God is telling us, I created you. I created you. I've had mercy on you. The only reason you've wandered around even 40 years, Moses, is because I've been with you. It ain't like Pharaoh don't have horses and soldiers and chariots and things. Hello, somebody. I've been with you, Moses. I've been with you, Victory Outreach. God is saying, you understand, for such a time as this. All right? Yesterday is yesterday. Today is today. But for such a time as this, we're gathered here together this morning, you understand, to receive mandate from God. We're gathered here together this morning, you understand, because God wants to put a new fire in us. We're gathered here together this morning because, see, God has already given us something in our hand. Moses, what is that in your hand? Victory Outreach, what is that in your hand? Whatever it is that I've given you, I've given you in advance. And I'm the one who can draw it out of you. Matter of fact, that's what Moses' name means. It means drawn out. Because Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the river. But the prophetic meaning is that Moses, God had placed greatness in. And now God is trying to bring that greatness out of Moses. Hello, somebody. See, you're here today because God drew you here. God says no one comes unto him unless they're drawn. Unless they're drawn. You think I woke up one morning, oh, yeah, I just want to go to the men's home. Oh, yeah, I was 13 years old. I was 13 years old and I was dreaming about the men's home. Or I was dreaming about the penitentiary. Oh, that's a place I would just love to go to. I want to be incarcerated. Oh, yes, incarceration. Oh, man, I want to run from the police daily. I want to dodge bullets and block knives and rocks and sticks and clubs. That's what I want to do. I want to walk around and not have no purpose. Tiptoe through the tulips. Some of y'all don't know what that is. The millennials say, tiptoe through the tulips. Pastor Charles, what you talking about? What we became, you understand, it wasn't what we were dreaming about being. The changes that it caused us and those who loved us, you understand, it wasn't something that we dreamed about. Oh, we might have dreamed about being a gangster, but we didn't dream about the consequences too much. Hello, somebody. Oh, yeah, I robbed that bank, man. I'm 15 years old. I'm thinking about robbing a bank, you understand, when I turn 20, old enough to buy me a pistol or whatever so I can go in there and pull an armed robbery. And thought about all the money that would be in the bag as we coming out the bank. But how about the police shooting at you when you come out of the bank? How about getting gaffled up and going to the penitentiary to spend 10 years, maybe even life? These are not the things you understand. These are not the things you understand that we wanted for our lives. But nevertheless, a God, a merciful God, because many of us, they locked us up under the prison and threw away the keys. Sam, you know that. All right, and I'm not talking about you personally, but we know some. My brother here, we've been around each other for a long time. Mark, you know we should have been gone. Gone, P. Joe. Gone. Gone, man. For a lifetime. We should have been on our way to hell. God is a good God. I'm talking about all the time. He's a good God all the time. And some of y'all said, well, I never had a speeding ticket. That's okay. You was on your way to hell anyway. Okay? All right. All right. Because we're all sinners. All sinners. Saved by grace through the faith that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Amen? We're all sinners. There's not a righteous one amongst us. No, not one. So Moses, he began to speak out of his own apprehension and lack of faith. So God has to take an ordinary thing in Moses' hand and do extraordinary with it. I walked up to the men's home, and I've told you this before. Wait a minute, now I got homemade beds up in here. Okay, all right. I was expecting that kind of hospital environment. You know what I'm saying? All right, we got donations coming in. Cool. Back then, you understand, it was beans and rice and Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 days in the home, I'm ready to go, man. Lama, 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 lama. And they wake up, man. I'm out of a crack coma. And I'm, whoa, what's going on here? No, brother, don't touch me. Don't touch me, homeboy. No, brother, I just want to lay hands on you and pray. No, don't touch me. Lama, 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 lama. Hey, I got to go. I'm going on that note, dog. I'm vacating the premises. It's weird up in here. All right? Little did I know that God was moving. And these brothers were speaking in tongues, you understand? And they was crying out to God for deliverance. And many of them were grateful that God had brought them out of, you understand, out of that place in the murk, in the mire, where they had a death sentence. So I took off, man. That gate right there, that the adobe wall there with a gate right there, walking on the rocks, but I was running on the rocks trying to get somewhere. And I got to the gate, and I looked at the sign. I don't know that much Espanol. But Atrisco in Salvador. And some brothers ran out. And they embraced me in love. And Pastor Jerry ran out. And they embraced me. And I broke down right there. Didn't understand that. I broke down there and began to weep. That was the day, you understand, that I knew that there was a God. That was the day, you understand, that I knew that I was supposed to be where I was. And I was there in the nick of time. That was the place. Moses is in the place, you understand, where he has to realize. No one pursued me for 40 years out here in this wilderness. They were definitely able to come get me. Hello, somebody. They were able to come get Moses. I should have been gone, and I had charges that I was facing at the time I went in. 2.5 years later, the judge said, I just don't want to see you no more. You stay in Victory Outreach, okay, and stay your bad butt off them streets, you understand? We ain't going to have no problems. All right, gave me 5 years probation. I'm just trying to move on here. Gave me 5 years probation. Hey, my PO got so tired of me trying to convert him, you understand? Look here, I'm going to see if we can't cut this thing in half. And guess what? He put in the requisition or whatever you want to call it, you understand? He put it in, and I only did 2.5 years, you understand? I got on his very nerves. And if I went to his office about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Matter of fact, take your girlfriend's picture off the wall. She's in a bikini. Hey, forget that. Hey, come on. Come on. He was a Dallas Cowboy fan, too. There were some days I just wanted to put my feet up on his desk, you know, but I didn't do that. But I said, come on, man. Come on. Jesus loves you. He got tired of that, man, and made sure that the judge got me out of his face. Amen. Praise God. Somebody give God a praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's continue to read. In verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, check this out now. I'm a big old snake, man. All right. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out with your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Moses came face to face with a decision here. And he probably began to recollect, think back like I did that day when I was leaving the men's home. Anyway, something, the faith that Moses was beginning to boil up in Moses caused him to reach out and grab that snake. You know, God wants to do something great and powerful in our lives. And sometimes, you understand, like we're learning this morning, sometimes, you understand, he has to take what's in your hand, what you're familiar with. He has to take that in your hand so you don't lean on it anymore, because it's like leaning on to your own understanding. I got a staff. I can beat wolves and stuff off the sheep, you understand? And it becomes, you understand, that blanket of protection, you understand? But God is saying, look, there's something beyond these sheep over here, out here. There's something I have for you concerning souls, concerning my people, concerning the lost at any cost, you understand? Moses, throw the staff down, because see, what I'm going to do is get you more dependent on me than the thing that you're holding in your hand. Some of us, that thing is our job. And we don't come to church no more because it's our job. Boy, if I miss too many church, y'all have to come get me. That's just the truth. They're my church family. I have to come here and get rejuvenated. I have to come here and get encouragement. I have to come here and be edified, be built up. Hello, somebody. I have to come here, you understand, and know that together, you understand, we're strong, divided, we weak, and we'll fall. We're an army. Somebody say we're an army. We're the army of the Lord. So I have to come. The Bible tells us don't forsake the assembling of the believers, of the saints that join together. Amen? So that's what the Bible tells us. See, so this thing that's in your hand sometime is not that good for you if it's your reliance, if it's a thing that you're relying on. That thing in your hand might be your husband. Might be your wife. Somebody. That thing in your hand, you understand? Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's a talent that either you've ventured out and began to develop it, or maybe it's just something that's holding you up. I thought I was a bad dude in the nightclub on a bass guitar, but that bass guitar couldn't save me from what was next. While I was doing drugs and womanizing and all that stuff there, beginning to go to jail. Sometimes police waiting for me outside the club. Hello, somebody. Being in all kind of skiffles and scuffles and all that kind of stuff. See, I thought that thing right there, you understand, I thought that was my life at one time. Oh, I'm going to become rich. I'm going to have fortune and fame, and I'm going to be that guy. And of course, all the weak people would say, you're that guy. You're bad. You're bad. You're bad. No. So maybe it's that talent, or maybe you're holding a desire to do something for God. Maybe it's just a desire. And what I tell myself, that desire grew out of something. It grew out of something. It became a heavy desire for me to pick up music. And obviously, God had given me a talent. Maybe what's in your hand is some money. Well off now, shoot. I have to listen to nobody. I got a pocket full of money. Many millionaires, you understand? Can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. I'm successful. I got it going on. I got a pocket full of money. Until trying to keep, you understand, track of the money and that person you trusted so much. I hear a story about MC Hammer. My goodness. Hook, line, and sinker, man. You got people you're trying to trust with all this money and they ripping you off. Sister Selena, how she lost her life. All started with greed, didn't it? The lady that pulled the trigger was greedy. Maybe what's in your hand is a home, a car. God wants to use it all for his glory, but maybe it's got you caught up. It's got you caught up. Moses' rod, it was nothing special in itself. It was a stick. Amen? What was special, though, is that it was in Moses' hand. God has given you some things that he wants you to use to bring him glory. God did not ask Moses for what he didn't have. If you notice that, he didn't ask Moses for what he didn't have. Because we could all make a long list of what we don't have. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough education or the right education. We don't have enough attention. Hello, somebody. Ego crying out. I don't get enough attention, man. Shoot. Give so-and-so over there more attention than me, man. Shoot. See, God never directs our attention to what we don't have, but to what we do have. Amen? What we do have. And it is that thing, you understand, that is small to us, but it becomes big in the hands of God. When God gets in it, it's what? It's enough. It's enough. You have to ask God to get into your stick. Get into your situation. God's got to be the God that's in your job. Your wife got to be in Jesus. Your husband got to be in Jesus. Your children have to be in Jesus. Your home has to be in Jesus. See, there's a great need for God to get into our worship and our songs. As I tell the worship team, it's not about our talents. Although God gave us the talents so that we can sharpen them. He wants us to sharpen these talents. It's in the what? It's in the house. There's a whole bunch of talents laying dormant. Amen? God wants to get into our preaching, our teaching. God wants to get into our marriages and our business and again, our talents. When God gets into a thing, it's not the same. When you let God into your heart, you won't be the same. When God gets into a thing, you understand, sometimes it'll scare you. Oh, hey. Yeah. I was just telling the team about the microphones that you use at the World Conference. We love them, too. But when you first start singing through that bad boy, so rich, it spooks you. Oh, 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 that's me? Oh, oh, that's me? Sounding like, okay. And you have to get used to it. Oh, da, 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 da. Oh, shoot, that's all right there. Real rich it is. You know, and you get into it, but it'll scare you. It'll scare you. They're so dynamic. They'll scare you. Amen? That $7,000 bass I want, that play that bad boy. I talk about playing it, but I think that bad boy gonna scare me from the get-go. But then I'll play all the strings off that bad boy eventually. Hello, somebody. But it's all about what's in our hearts. Amen. In Numbers 20:11, I'm going to move along here. Numbers 20:11. God, he got in a rock and caused that rock, you understand, to flow with water through the desert to quench the thirst of 2 to 3 million people, the children of Israel. In Numbers 22 and 28, God got in a donkey, hello somebody, and caused it to speak and rebuke a rebellious prophet who was trying to lead to his own understanding. Can you imagine that? Your donkey start talking to you. Hello somebody. Well, I'd rather have a donkey talk to me because sometimes I hear voices, man, and they ain't coming from nothing. Okay, all right. All right, and I think to myself, maybe that's a flashback from something I did years ago. Some weed or something, I don't know. Amen. I don't hear God audibly. I don't know, some people say they do, but he speaks to me out of his word. Amen. In 2 Kings 4, God got in a little pot of oil, and it caused it to multiply till it met every need and provided an abundant overflow. And 1 Samuel 17, God got into the heart of a young man named David, you understand? And then God got into a rag and a rock. That's what I'm calling a sling. A rag and a rock. That's all it is. That's a piece of leather, Pastor Charles. A rag and a rock. And this giant was over 9 feet tall, you understand? David brought him down with a rag and a rock. Why did he bring him down? Because God got in to David's heart, and God got into the rag and the rock. David, what's in your hand? God, it's a rag and a rock. That's all right. Let's get this giant. All right. If we refuse to see God in it, we'll turn and run just like Moses did. Because there's a lot of things, you understand, that God's going to challenge us with. And we're going to run. We're going to run and we're not going to fulfill the purpose that God has for our life. Like I said before, I tried to run from the recovery home. I thank God that he was with me and there were some people there full of love and compassion for souls. Amen. When you start running from one thing, you're going to keep running from every other thing, you understand. We ran at one time from all the things that were good for us. You understand? We ran from God. You got to stop running and deal with your drug addiction for those who might be here that are addicted this morning to drugs, alcohol. Maybe you're addicted to pornography. Maybe you're addicted, you understand, to, well, they don't pull levers no more. I think they push buttons at the casino. Yeah. Boy, praise God, that's behind me too. I never was much of a gambler. Amen. But you got to deal whatever you with. You got to deal with what you got to deal with. You got to stop running and deal with it. Check into the recovery home today. Don't waste no time. You got to stop running from the truth. It was the truth, you understand, that Charles, you're going to be out here. You're going to die. You've seen your partners with bullets in the head, and you've seen death out here. You understand, you've been a witness to death out here, confusion and madness out here. Charles, you're not going to make it. I had to face the truth. Oh, I'm going to do drugs for the rest of my life. Well, that's going to be a short life then. That's what I had to start saying to myself. Rest of your life. And then, I'm going to smoke crack till I'm 80. Really? 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 How am I going to get it at 80? Unless I'm rich. And God forbid me being a millionaire crackhead. My goodness. It was bad enough, I think, when I was robbing banks and stuff, you understand. Hey, I was going to get busted, you know, and hey, that was going to be the time, you understand. I go into the belly of the fish, you understand, and though it was stinking and dirty in the belly of the fish, nevertheless, you know, we know Jonah lived in the belly of the fish. Otherwise, he was going to drown. Amen. Anyway, let me continue. Got to stop running from responsibilities. Some of us are running from the responsibilities of children and grandchildren. We're running from various responsibilities, maybe even in the church year. Since this is back to church month, and this is the last day of back to church, maybe we're lagging there in our responsibilities. Maybe we're lazy, or maybe we're just afraid to step out. I used to be scared to death of a microphone. I went to a youth convention in Arizona, and they put me on a mic. My pastor, he was just shocked. Boy, are you going to say anything?
I'm serious. I put the mic down.
I was just packed, man. I was gone. I was through. I was shaking, man. I can't say nothing. Everything that come out of my mouth today going to be wrong, so I'm just not going to talk. Not going to talk at all, okay? Maybe you're running from love, especially God's love. But there's people that's trying to love you. And you've isolated yourself because you don't trust anybody no more. Maybe because you've been done so bad in your life. You've been abused or something. You just don't trust people. You don't even trust the word love because somebody used it so many times before they abused you. You understand what I'm saying this morning? But I'm here to tell you that God, you understand, the love of God, it's real, it's true, it's unconditional. If you're lacking love in your life, allow Jesus to come in and love you. He'll show you true love and you'll know what true love is. Stop leaning to your own. Well, he bat his eyes at me, I think he loves me. No, he had a speck in his eye, that's what that was. All right. Yeah, he had a speck in his eye. Eye twitching don't got nothing to do with no love. Lena, would I be able to catch you with just a... See? Sister, my sister say no. You'd have never been able, you understand, to get close to me. A light would have went off. He ain't for reals. You can go on around the way there, brother. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen. You got to stop running from your gifts and calling. If I can get the keyboard that's up here. Hallelujah. I'll say this. We need to be a house with open hands. Because God wants to be able to see what is in your hand. If there ain't nothing, he wants to put something in it. But he wants you to live with an open hand policy. And what that means is that you're trusting God. My hand is open to you. God, you put the money there and I'm going to go ahead, give my tithes and offerings and try to help somebody, you understand, who is less fortunate. And when you live with an open hand policy, God continues to replenish whatever he's taking out of your hand or whatever you're giving. But when you do this here, God cuts you off. Actually, you cut yourself off because you closed your hand to what was being put in your hand. Some of you are supposed to be up here singing in the choir. And I'm not bashing today. I'm just encouraging. Or maybe playing the piano like Mandy or playing a musical instrument. Or helping out with the sound media. These guys, Kyle and Anthony and everybody, they gave their hearts. God gave them talents. They gave their hearts to the Lord, you understand? And they did research and they began to study and they began to allow God to do a work in their lives. God knows all about the knobs. What it takes to get back there and learn that. Everybody can't do that. Maybe that's not your forte. Maybe that's not your gift. But God has given you something in your hand, you understand, that you may glorify him with it. That you may serve with it. Because it's all about servanthood. So we need more sound technicians. We need more media technicians. We need more teachers in the children's church. Who God has anointed and appointed, you understand, and given them the sensitivity and the discernment and the skills, you understand, that need to be polished in order to meet the needs of our children here. As we educate them, the Bible talks about that God's word will come forth even out of the mouth of babes. We got some on fire kids back here, man. Some preachers and teachers already. God is raising up the next generation of soldiers, the next generation of servants, the next generation of godly men and women that he can use mightily. We can use more ushers in the church. More ushers.
It takes a spirit of hospitality. It takes a kind, gentle spirit. It takes a welcoming heart, a warm heart. It takes an anointing from God, a passion. You get excited when you see somebody come through the doors of the church. But God and the spirit that He has given you, you understand, can make them feel welcome. Make them feel wanted. We need more ministers. I know Pastor Joe will agree. Some of the sisters, like Sister Linda, and some of you that go to the jails and the prisons. We need more prison and jail ministers. God's raising up an army in the jail. That's where God was giving me the word. I said, no, I'm not going to smoke no crack in jail. Well, brother, you do it out there. That's out there. What got me in here, brother? I don't want to fool with it. Sure, I'd get out of jail and I might leave Jesus in the jail. But God was building upon me. He was building upon me. He gave me remembrance of the things that I was learning while I was studying the Bible. I mean, I was studying the Bible 2-3 hours a day in jail because I hated it. God, whatever you can do, whatever you can say to me in your word here that's going to keep me from this thing, I want to have it, Jesus. I want to have it. Yes, I get out, God, and I've got out over and over again. I continue to do the same thing. But Lord, hold on, God. Hold on, God. Give me what I need to finally break this bondage. To finally destroy this thing that's had me in bondage, Lord. And in the nick of time, God spared me. And I'm grateful to this day. We need more preachers. We need more teachers. We need more Bible scholars, if you will, that are walking in the truth. Not just walking around, you understand, fat-headed Christians, you understand, with a whole bunch of brain knowledge. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word. God would be raising up a ministry, you understand, of Bible scholars, you know, walking in faith and walking in passion and compassion for souls. That's why we have Bethany Victory Education Training Institute. We need doctors and lawyers in the church. Check this out, Victory Outreach. We need some policemen up in here. Oh, Lord. Oh, I know. I touched on one there, didn't I? We didn't care about no police, man. They were our enemies when we was doing dirt. But a policeman on fire for Jesus, he can glorify God. Hello, somebody. Some of us ex-cons, they ain't going to never be no police. They're not going to make us no police because they're not trusting. But I think some of us qualified right now. We had a mod squad up in here. Hello, somebody. Straight undercover. But you're running from a call of God upon your life. When Moses started running after God turned his rod into a snake, he was either afraid, like I said before, of the snake, or because it was a symbol. The authority that once had him bound. So Moses, if you run from this symbol, if you run from this authority, you'll continue to run from Pharaoh. You'll continue to run, but you won't be able to hide because what you're running from the most is the call of God. God allows things to come upon us, you understand, that spook us, you understand. But when we take off running, you understand, we're actually running from God. It was God that turned the rod into the snake. Moses had to snap. If you can do that, but then, hey, I'm in. I'm all in. Lord, if you can take this drug addiction from this crack addict, you understand? I'm all in, Jesus. I'm all in, you understand? If you can take this alcoholism from me, I'm all in. I'm all in, God. If you can take this mind, this perverted mind from me, Lord. If you can transform me, if you can deliver me, I'm all in, Jesus. Let us not forget where God has brought us from. And let us know and touch base and
dig down deep, you understand, to the vision that he has for us. Because he's not done. He's not done. Somebody say, he's not done with me. 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 To ask yourself this morning, when are you going to stop running from that snake of old and allow God to become the greatest authority in your life? When? When are you going to recognize he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? He's the authority of authority. He's the Father, the Daddy of Daddies. Hello, somebody. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. Before him was nobody. After him, there's nobody. Three things I want you to think about. Think about it and realize that nothing but the power of God could have brought you this far. Nothing. Men and women in the home, you say, I'm in the home. This is hard. This is hard. I know it's hard. But I want you to ask yourself. Let's go to a common sense place, okay? All right? Let's go to a common sense place. Maybe some of y'all didn't have it so bad out there. But it kind of makes me wonder why you're in the home. Okay? But ask yourself, why am I in the home? And is the home harder than what I was going through or what I was getting ready to go through? That's just one of them common sense questions. Right? It's just not rocket science. Is the home harder on you than what you were going through in the world? If so, you have to say, well, yeah, it's harder, really. Ask me this. Was there any promise in it? Was there any reward in it that wouldn't get you killed or send you to the penitentiary forever? These are common sense questions, and I don't mean to just be talking to the homes. But this is Victory Outreach. Our founder came to the home. Right? There's something to be said about the inner city move of Victory Outreach, the inner city move of God, and the vision that we have for reaching souls. See, we set up shop in the worst part of the town. When you look at the life of Jesus Christ and the mission that he was on, you understand there was ragtag people following Jesus. Because those that didn't think they needed a doctor or a physician, they didn't follow the physician, the great physician. They didn't follow him. Those that were desperate, those that needed something. Maybe some of them just wanted a meal for the day, but they still needed something. Jesus fed them, but he fed them more than just substance for their body. Samaritan woman at the well, I give you living water. You can't dip this out of this ground, what I'm going to give you. Hello, somebody. Jesus is here to give us a living drink. Jack Daniels is a drink for those who want to die. Don't want any purpose in life. Jesus is the living water. Number two, take the step of faith. I believe that Moses, his faith kicked in, you understand, and somewhat after he stopped and stepped out. You ever notice that God, before he changes sometimes, he going to tell you, step out first. I'm making a promise. That when your feet, you understand, Israel, when they were at the Jordan crossing over, finally the Joshua generation crossing over into the land of promise, he said, I will hold back these waters, you understand, as soon as your feet touch the water. But don't stand on the bank and say, I'm waiting, Lord, first, but it's water to stop, but we're going to drown out here. There's 2 million people that might drown out here. If you stop the waters, we'll step. Now they stepped in the waters. Step in, you'll find out when you get your feet wet, the waters will stop. Know that obedience brings victory over and over and over again. With every head bowed, every eye closed. So often we feel we need extraordinary abilities. Of course, we serve an extraordinary God, But it's all about what he's able to do in your life and through your life. So these extraordinary abilities that we're waiting on, just like I said, we're waiting on them. God gives us abilities, but more than anything, he gives us a faith and reliance upon him. He'll direct us. I'm not talking about a hand that's going to reach out of the sky every time you're in a situation, because you'd probably kill over anyway if you saw a big hand come out of the sky. But the fact that God will direct you, God will change your heart. God will build your faith. He'll make himself manifest in your life. You understand? If you hang out with him, you tell me who you hang out with and I'll tell you who you are. If you hang out with Jesus, hello somebody, it's going to be evident. Jesus talked about the bearing of fruit, how he wants us to bear fruit, and he wants us to bear much fruit, more fruit. It's a growing thing. It's a allowing God to do something in our life, to begin something in our life, you understand, that we're going to allow to be nurtured and nourished, and that we have a desire to grow in the Lord and know him more and more and more, and to be empowered by him, to be rejuvenated by him. Because sometimes, you understand, the road gets a little bit tough. I don't care how much faith you got, the road can get tough. But it's so good to know that I got enough faith today to let go and let God. It's not just a cliche, you understand, if you will. It is the truth. God says that, hey, if you abide in me, I will abide in you, you understand. And whatever you ask for in the name of Jesus, it will be given unto you. But the truth is, we all already possess whatever we need to do God's work. But we got to open up our hands and allow God to do a work and stop running from that work. Amen? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father God, we come before you, Lord. We give you thanks and praise for your word that has gone forth today, dear Lord God. We pray, Father, that it find lodging in the hearts of the hearers, my God. Revolutionize, dear Lord God, this group of fine people that you're raising up, dear Lord God. This army, this mighty army of men and women of God that you're raising. Revolutionize us, dear Lord God. Write upon the tablet of our hearts, dear Lord God, these messages and the words, dear Lord God, that you pour into us at these services, dear Lord God. And give us a desire to study your word. Give us a desire, dear Lord God, to be fervent in prayer, my God. I pray in the name of Jesus, dear Lord God. For Heavenly Father, we want to be those that make our dad proud. We want to be those, dear Lord God, that, oh, our Father in heaven, dear Lord God, oh, he can be proud of. Look down and say, those are my children there. Those are my children. And we can bring our Abba Father, that we can bring glory and honor to him. When God is in it, it's enough. There are those this morning that maybe you don't or have not accepted the free gift of salvation. Jesus came, died. He paid a price that we could not pay. He paid the price. And his blood covers us. It covers us, those who will accept Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Believe that he was born of a virgin, and that he stepped out of his place in heaven and came and took on the form of a man. And he was 100% man, 100% God. And that he walked with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Know that God is for us, but Emmanuel, Jesus, walked with us. He understands our temptation. He understands our trials, you understand? But not once, you understand, did he give in to those things, because he's God. And he gave us a way, you understand, that we can grow in him, that he can become manifest in our lives, you understand? Not that he'll make a way, you understand, for us not to have to go through any trials or anything, but that he'll show us how to go through those things. The Bible says that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able to bear, but he will give us a means of escape that we're able to bear under it. In the name of Jesus, know that today. Know that today. You'll still be challenged, but nevertheless, you won't have to carry the weight by yourself. Thank you, Jesus. There is anyone here who wants to accept a free gift of salvation, if you will this morning, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Thank you, Jesus. As they begin to sing this song, I'm going to open up these altars right now. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray for whatever your needs are. If you're struggling, know that our God is greater.
Our God is stronger.
Our God is strong.
God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer.
Comfort us.
Our song and power.
Able to give us peace in the middle of frustration, in the middle of challenges.
Our God. God is here.